a safe place for people from every walks of life to come, to get additional information about how to manage their health and to actually attain a well-being of their life and to have good health status. So people can actually come to the people's health sanctuary if they have struggles or any challenges with their health and not feel that they will be judged or disrespected. The people's health sanctuary can also provide education in lifestyle modifications and weight management, body movement, like we had the last time we had the African dance there, blood pressure screening, and so much more can happen in this sanctuary. I see the people's health though as the people's health sanctuary as a place where conventional medicine and integrative remedies are put together or instituted to or utilized to transform people's health and bring also a better outcomes for the people's health.
So you've also mentioned about having lifestyle educations provided. Is there anything else as an example besides those physical movements that were part of the Chasing Health program?
Yeah. So we so you remember you had talked about some of the things that, you know, why I think that the people's health, what they can supplement, right, in terms of the conventional or traditional healthcare that we have now. So the people's health can do things like meditation, right? People can come there and learn how to meditate. And people can probably also come there if they had, you know, prayer needs. And or if they need like a yoga exercises, you know, those kind of stuff this place can provide. And also even just having someone to listen to the way you think your care should be driven. So I think the people's health is a place where people can come and be themselves and also to be able to just say, you know, what they believe treatment should look like for them.
Furthermore, from a medical care perspective, what improvements can be addressed when it comes to equal patient treatment?
Yeah, that's a very important and good question. I think that providing equal care to people is vital to all people from all walks of life, no matter their creed, no matter their cultural values and beliefs and or socioeconomic status. For us to be able to improve patient equal care, we must first, you know, provide respect and dignity for all people. And providing access to care is very, very important. Bringing that care like we do at Chasing Health to the people where the people actually have needs for such care. So bringing healthcare access to the people is important. And also providing the people that you see, that we meet in the community, the ability for them to also communicate their needs and why the provider listens. So developing a listening ear is very important. I would, you know, advise that. But we can also provide both, you know, like conventional and integrative medicine, which I think sometimes in the healthcare setting is not really talked about that much. We are more into the traditional care. Let's, you know, talk about the medications and all of that. But I think if we can incorporate integrative care into it, whether that person believes in prayer, whether they believe that, you know, not taking medication might be it, maybe having them eat a healthier diet, you know, teaching them how to refrain from alcohol, you know, and smoking and things like that, and just educating them more about other ways that they can, you know, take care of themselves, managing stress, massage, you know, dancing, those kind of stuff, you know, integrative medicine being, you know, incorporated into conventional medicine. I think that's the way to go.
We have about a minute or two left, but is there any last comments that you would like to add to our interview?
Yes, certainly. I think what I would like to add is to tell the people out there, practice self-care, eat healthy diet by increasing your fruits and vegetables. Exercise is awesome. Aerobic exercise, anything that can increase your heart rate, 30 minutes a day, you know, 5 days, 150 minutes a week. You can spread that out, but if you cannot meet the 30 minutes a day, 15 minutes, you can start with 15 minutes and work your way through. And so actually, that would be something that I would say, don't be too uptight, reduce your stress, relax, and have fun.
Thank you for your emphasis on such key aspects and your precious story. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Omorogbi.
Thank you for having me, Eunice. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yay. Okay, I just need to find
it. We did it.
Yeah.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
After a long absence on local stages, Catskill's Brian DeWan is performing back locally again on Thursday, December 22nd. It's his annual holiday program, and this year it is at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, December 22nd. WGXC should have a live webcast of the performance. It may also be on the FM airwaves. So tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Thursday, December 22nd for Catskill's Brian DeWan's return to local stages and his annual holiday show Thursday, December 22nd at the Avalon Lounge.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
Yeah. दिल की धड़कन से तो आए जाना हमारे सब सब के हो जाए आना बिस्तर धोरे तो कैसे सोए जाना बिस्तर धोरे लो लो लोरी सुनाना
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm also from Hudson. And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
And bookish
things. And that's what we're going to do today.
Yep. And we're usually joined by our friends Fatia or Amelia, but today it's just me and Georgia. And actually, I have not seen Georgia in a couple weeks, so it is very good to see you.
Thank you. It's good to see you.
And I'm sure our radio listeners, for them, they can't see you, but it's very good to hear from you, I'm sure. I'm sure they've all missed you.
Oh.
And your commentary on books and bookish things.
Thank you.
So what have you been reading since we last heard from you? Anything good?
Well, I have been reading The Apothecary, which is a really good book. My English teacher actually recommended it to me. I'm borrowing it from her.
Cool.
And also in English, we are reading Out of My Mind.
By Sharon Draper?
Mm-hmm. Out of My Mind is so good, and I think that's why I was planning on sharing today.
Cool.
So, I'm honestly not even gonna, read the description, because we've been reading this, and I have so much to say about it. So basically, the book is about a girl named Melody who has severe cerebral palsy, and she can't speak or really like communicate, and she has to be fed and pushed around in a wheelchair. And she's in this disabled kid's classroom, but then slowly her classroom starts to get integrated into the quotation marks normal classroom. And so she's like really smart. And so lots happens, and that's all I'm gonna say. But it's so good, and it's like eye-opening. It's just eye-opening.
I read that a long time ago, so I don't remember it very well, but I remember really liking it.
So good.
And I feel like there aren't that many books about young people with cerebral palsy. So it was also nice to see that represented.
Definitely not. And if so, it's like for four-year-olds on an online thing. Cerebral palsy. What's cerebral palsy?
It's nice to have something for your age group.
Definitely. Also, it's not just that it's good about being cerebral palsy. It's such a good book. It's just such a good book.
I can't remember if I've read other things by her. I know you have, because she wrote Blended, right? Did she read that? Or no? Was it? No, I'm not sure.
She did! No way! I did not know that. I didn't realize that until now. It's the same Sharon M. Draper. That's amazing. That's just crazy.
I should really read more by her, because she is a very well-regarded author.
Yeah, our books are amazing. And yeah, my English teacher's great. She has us read really good books. First, we read A Long Walk to Water. We're almost done with Out of My Mind, and I have no idea what we're going to read next, but I'm guessing it's going to be amazing, because all the books she has us read are incredible.
It's nice when your teacher picks out really good books.
Yes, she's like everyone's favorite teacher.
Lucky you.
I wish that you were also my English teacher.
I don't have the time, but I have the passion for books and literature and literacy.
You have the passion.
I have the passion.
You have it in you.
So what was the other book that you mentioned you were reading called? I couldn't quite understand the title. Because it's a weird one.
The apothecary or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
Apocalary or something. It's some English term for pharmacist.
Yeah, I think it's the apothecary.
It's so good though.
I haven't read that one yet either. That's by Naomi Malloy. And that's the first in a series, so.
Yeah, I'm like 40 pages in. Cool. It's so good.
Sounds good. It's got a cute cover.
With the little birdie. Beep, beep.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I have a book I could talk about, and I want to read the description because I haven't finished this yet, and I like the description. So first of all, it's called The Beatrice Prophecy, and it's by Kate DiCamillo, and it has illustrations by Sophie Blackall, and I love both of them so much. So
didn't they do Katie the Cat Sitter?
No. They did. What did so? I'm trying to think what Katie DiCamillo, or I called her Katie, like we're buds or something. Kate DiCamillo wrote Because of Winn-Dixie, Tale of Despero.
Oh,
Edward Tulane.
It's a longer title. The Cat Sitter. I don't know how I mixed those up.
Who knows? And then Sophie Blackall largely has done children's picture books. And she's won a lot of awards for her work on that, but she also did the illustrations for Ivy and Bean. And I talked about a book by her recently about things to look forward to.
I used to love Ivy and Bean. I read like every book in the series.
I've never read Ivy and Bean.
You
I need
should.
To do it sometime.
It's so good. It's so cute.
I should at least read the first one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know why I haven't read this earlier, but I didn't, but I bought it for my niece for Christmas. And so she and my mom are reading it together over Zoom. And so I'm trying to keep up, and then I listen along when I can. But here's the description for this book. There is one creature that the monks of the Chronicles of Sorrowing fear above all others, and Swelica the goat. The monks fear her sharp teeth and her hard head and her wily ways. And so imagine Brother Edict's terror when he goes to feed Answelica one morning and finds a child in the pen with the demon goat. The child does not know where she came from. She does not know who her people are. She remembers only one thing, her name, Beatrice. The king's men, however, know who the child is, and they are searching for her. I think it has such a cool, mysterious title. And then it starts with a prophecy. It is written in the Chronicles of Sorrowing that one day there will come a child who will unseat a king. The prophecy states that this child will be a girl. Because of this, the prophecy has long been ignored. So I guess it doesn't start with a prophecy, but it starts with talking about a prophecy.
It's so mysterious.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. So there's this goat that's like, you know, this bad goat that like is kind of a terror. And so the monk finds the goat lying down next to this child, and the child's holding onto the ear. And anytime they try to take the kid away from the goat gets all worked up. And so they just have to bring the goat around with her. And it has like a soothing effect on the child. And so Brother Edict is trying to figure out how to protect her, keep her safe and well. And then she also has a secret that Brother Edict knows, but in this world, nobody can read and write except for the monks, but she can do both of those things. So that's another surprise that he learns about her. And so similar to some other books that I've read by her, along the way, you meet some other characters that become bigger characters in the story. So you meet a boy named Jack Dory, who meets up with Beatrice. And yeah, it's really well done. It's really beautiful. It's got these beautiful black and white illustrations throughout. And it has like each of the start of each chapter, the first letter is in this like really fancy typeface.
It's so interesting to have like something more like dark done by the illustrator of Ivy and Bean, because Ivy and Bean is like so funny and lighthearted and younger, and it's really interesting to see that art style applied somewhere else.
Yeah, she's just such an amazing artist, and I think I love that she's not just doing her work in picture books, even though I love her picture books. It's just nice that older readers can encounter her work as well. And Kate D. Camillo is just a really fabulous storyteller and really good at developing characters and a sense of place, and like her wording choices are really smart and help build suspense and interest. So I have some catching up to do today because I was not part of their reading session today and they read 10 chapters. There are very short chapters. This is a good sort of, it's a middle grade book, but it's, I think it would be okay for a younger reader so far. So like if you were reading aloud to somebody who was younger, but I don't know. It's possible that things will happen later that are more intense, but yeah, great book. That's The Beatrice Prophecy by Kate D. Camillo with illustrations by Sophie Blackall. So that's my main current read. I'm also reading a book for our nonfiction book club, which is an adult book club, although younger people are welcome too. But this book is called How to Do Nothing, Resisting the Attention Economy. That's by Jenny Odell. And it's interesting so far, although I haven't gotten too far into it. And it was a very popular book that came out maybe a couple years ago. And she has a new book coming out this year called Saving Time, Discovering a Life Beyond the Clock. So if you liked How to Do Nothing, maybe you'll like that book too. So you can keep that on your radar. I like the beginning of the description for her newer book. It says, we are living on the wrong clock, and it is destroying us. Dun, dun, dun. But that one's coming out in March. And then another book I'm reading very slowly is I got a book called Great Women Painters. And it's sort of like an encyclopedia kind of women painters, but each page, it's a big form, like coffee table style book, big art book, that each page has, you know, there's two pages on, you know, when you open it up, and each page has a big piece of art and a blurb about that artist. So I mean, you open it up and there's two pieces of art, two blurbs about artists. And then you turn the page and you just go through it. A to Z. And I'm curious when I'll first hit an artist that I am aware of, that I know I'm aware of, because I'm sure I've seen some of this work before, but I'm not very far into that one yet. I've been trying to just do a couple a day, because I like read, I look at the art, I read the blurb, and then I try to see if I can find stuff online about them, or for more contemporary people, I can maybe follow them online too.
That's really cool. Love to check that out.
Yeah, I've thought about possibly just buying it, because I feel like it's a library book, and at this point it's going to take me so long to get through it. So at some point I'll have to return it before I finish it. And it seems like a good resource for, like, if I ever go to a museum and I see art by a female artist that I really like, I can read more about them back home. Although they are small blurbs, so it's not like I'm getting a huge amount of information on each person, just a little taste. So I know you've recently started work on a play. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that, what the play is?
Oh, well, at my school, we are doing a musical. We're doing Your Good Man, Charlie Brown. It's whole school, so it's 5th to 8th grades. And I have a few roles, and it's really cool. And so far, we've done the read-through and one full cast rehearsal, and then a bunch of other rehearsals, which I haven't been at because the other rehearsals have been for specific cast members. But I have two ensemble roles and one that, like, it's ensemble, I guess, but, like, the character is in a lot of scenes and doesn't talk, but is in, like, a lot of scenes just standing there. So, important. Yeah, I'm really excited.
It's really fun. I haven't done a play in a long time, except for a very stirring rendition of The Grinch Who Stole Christmas that I did in a living room over the holidays. I was a Who down in Whoville.
Adorable.
Yeah, lots of singing and holding hands.
You would make such a good Who.
Oh, thank you.
I can just imagine that so well.
What would my hair look like? I'd have a really cool do.
Yeah, I would imagine you with two braids.
Sticking up, mm-hmm. Up and out. Yeah. We should bring some Who fashion to 2023. How can I live my best Who self? Cool. Well, did you have anything else you wanted to share today?
I just got a wee.
Oh yeah? You having fun with that?
So much. It's the best. What's your favorite part? Boxing.
Oh, boxing.
I got a lot of knockouts. It's a little worrying to me that the one thing that I'm best at is the thing where you have to hurt people and get points for it. Otherwise, though, I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah. Luckily, it's not a real person.
Luckily, yeah.
Yeah. That helps.
A lot.
Yeah. I haven't done the boxing in a while. I should try that. It's good. Good arm exercise. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to let our listeners know, especially the tweens and teens out there, about an upcoming program for tweens and teens at the library. We have monthly or bi-monthly at times craft projects for kids ages 6 to 12. Or sorry, no. In grades 6 to 12. There's a difference there. So students in grades 6 to 12 are invited to these after school snack and craft programs. And they're held in the teen room where you can see the cool mural that Georgia helped with. And there'll be a light snack and then a fun project each time. And so we just had one this week that was doing wax resistant watercolor painting, which is very cool. I'd like to give it a try. And next week, January 18th on Wednesday, and this is from 3:30 to 5 p.m. after school hours, they're going to be making crystal snowflakes.
Ooh.
Might be the only snow we see this year. Who knows? Do you think we're going to get snow this year? Feels like it's just going to be like cold and rainy.
Gotten any yet in Hudson?
Very little. I mean, we've had some snow. I'm exaggerating. Really? But we haven't had like a big snow, I don't think.
Really? Right?
Maybe I'm blanking it from my memory.
Where I live, we got like 4 inches.
Maybe we did earlier.
Except I live, where I live is in the mountains. So, I mean, that does
contribute. properly. The last time, I think it was just there was the ice storm right before the holidays.